another fine podcast from the FIR Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to EE Voice, a podcast where we talk about employee communications and how you can apply lessons learned to your organization. I'm Sharon McIntosh in Norwalk, Connecticut.
And I'm Sharon Phillips in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina.
It is so nice to be back here in the podcast saddle after a lovely summer break. Sharon and I both traveled to a beautiful state, Maine, and it was absolutely gorgeous. It had just beautiful views. It was so relaxing. We didn't go at the same time, but we both sort of landed there this summer. And it was, for me, I don't know about you, Sharon, but it was paradise. It really was.
And very, very little COVID.
Yes, the rates were very good. And a little COVID and lots of lobster. Our goal was to eat lobster almost every day. And we came close to that goal. It was such a nice break, but we missed all of you. So we're coming back strong with this month's topic. And we are extremely enthusiastic about our special guest who's with us today, George Sutcliffe, who generously offered to speak to us about his extensive experience in executive communications and measurement. George has such a fascinating background as a lawyer, a librarian, and writer, which helped prepare him for the role he holds today as a member of the corporate communications team at Raytheon Technologies. In this role, he is responsible for driving the measurement strategy to help uncover meaningful insights that impact business outcomes. Just that sentence makes Sharon and I so happy to talk about measurement tied to business outcomes. And George also provides research and insights to inform brand, employee engagement, reputation, and social impact strategies. He also plays a large role in media monitoring and social listening, and he's a member of the Institute for Public Relations Measurement Commission. I'm also delighted to say that Raytheon Technologies is a client of mine, and working with George is truly one of the highlights of this engagement. He continues to teach me about measurement, and I can't tell you what an absolute joy it is to have someone who understands measurement, has the analysis piece, but still sits in corporate communications. Imagine. With that, welcome, George.
Thank you, Sharon and Sharon. Glad to be here. And by the way, I also went to Maine this summer.
Oh, you did. Oh. See, it's one of the best places. I can't say enough about it.
One of my favorite places. And I also had lots of lobster.
Yeah, there you go.
Lobster.
That's right. So let's kick off with this question, because it always seems to be top of mind, particularly for my folks who are working in communications. And in internal communications, we often, I think we're getting better. I don't think we're quite where we need to be, but I think we're getting better at measurement. Executive communications seems to have particular challenges about measuring effective communications. So George, can you talk a little bit about that?
I think communications in general is hard to measure. It's not as cut and dry as sales of a product and, you know, the financials of a company. So, I mean, it's pretty hard across the board, not just PR, but internal communications. And as you said, executive communications. Historically, communications teams have focused on outputs, measurement activity, the number of messages, the number of emails you send, the number of articles.
All the output stuff, right?
Yeah. And that's fine. You know, there's a place for that. But, you know, you really should focus on more important things, measuring outcomes. What is employee sentiment based on your communications? That sort of stuff, you know, more focus on outcomes. That's harder, of course, and in some instances requires a budget or a person like me.
Right.
Every communications team should aim to do that.
Yeah, it's always been a challenge. But we continue to look at innovative ways of looking at how to measure communications, and having your kind of skill set is so important. So George, Executive Communications Council survey noted that the number one way for executive communicators to get employee feedback from employees is through town hall questions. We all realize that's one way, but what are some other ways you'd suggest?
Yeah, tracking questions is important. You should always aim to get employee feedback any way you can to judge employee sentiment, but there's definitely some other ways. One way is obviously to do surveys. Every company does have some form of employee engagement survey. Typically, they do this once a year, although I've seen other companies do it more frequently. If it was up to me, I would do that on a monthly basis. But, yes, you know, that's typically led by the HR team, and they may or may not have communications-related questions in there. So it's always somewhat hard to sort of influence those questions. Another way to do this, especially if we're talking about executive communications, is town hall surveys or all-hands meetings surveys. And that's an absolute minimum. Every single executive, at least at the CEO level and maybe his direct reports, should all have, typically do have town halls on a quarterly basis. So there has to be a survey, post-town hall survey. It goes out to stuff like transparency, open communications. Do they understand the messages that are being put forth? Do they understand the company priorities, prospects for the future, pride in the company? I'm just rattling off some examples of questions you should ask. And it should be both quantitative and qualitative. So there's always should be an open-ended question where they provide open feedback on any topic as well. And it should be standardized. If you're doing it in a silo, if the chief technology officer is doing one survey with different questions and the chief digital officer is doing another survey with a whole different set of questions, that's not good, because it would be good to compare across the company. Many of the places I've worked at have sort of led a sort of a standardization project where we sat down, thought of what questions we want to ask, thought about the methodology. You should definitely use the same rating scale, for example. I typically use a 5-point agreement scale. I like that better than yes or no questions, for example. Yeah. Definitely standardize the methodology as well.
It's a Likert scale, right? Why the 5-point scale over a yes, no question? What's the value of that?
I think it's more standard in the market research field to use a type of scale. There's definitely places for a yes and no question. Obviously, are you interested in more frequent town halls? Yes or no? But a scale should be marked strongly agree. It should be clearly marked which one is which. It just gives the survey taker more options, but not too many more options. I've also seen 7-point scales and stuff like that.
Yes.
That doesn't label what they're inputting. And that's not too good. One important thing is to get the survey out. But if you can standardize the questions and the scales, that would be nice as well.
Yeah. And I think what you and I have also talked about is the importance of not only having those standard questions that go across, but then start measuring it where you can actually see employee sentiment and how it changes from quarter to quarter if you're having quarterly town halls, for example.
Absolutely. Trends, very easy to do, obviously. And I would say that comments to the surveys, that's equally as important to take time, dig into those comments. What I usually do is code the comments, depending on how many they are. If there's 10,000 comments, you can't do that yourself. There are tools that can help you if you have the budget to do that, but I still think it's valuable to look at a comment. So I usually sample. If there is 10,000 comments, and for a big company with a global town hall, there is that many comments, it's a proven concept to take a sample. I would code them for both sentiment and topic. It's very valuable to see what employees are thinking about.
Yeah, some of our richest material, I remember, was from those comments that really hit home and helped give a real flavor to our survey results when we bring them back to our execs. I think they could see, wow, okay, this person's given that some thought, and here's their comment extrapolating on one of our questions, for instance.
And I would say an equally important thing is for the executive to acknowledge that they are looking at the comments, receiving the feedback, and then acting on it. Because a lot of times I see that this doesn't happen. I used to work at Visa before Raytheon, and the Visa CEO was very good at doing that. Back when you did do business travel, he would read all the responses to their employee engagement survey in the plane.
And it makes the employee, when they're getting these every quarter, saying, absolutely, I want to participate in this because I know my CEO or my executive is reading it.
Yes. And I've seen employee responses saying, well, this is the third time I've suggested this.
I remember one executive that I worked with dealt with this very nicely. He would actually bring them up in his next town hall or conversation. He would always bring at least one or two comments that he got from the survey or some insight that he got from the survey results. So he'd feed them back automatically. So people always expected this. And it was the two-way communications was clear to all that they were taking it seriously. And secondly, sometimes he would actually say, well, I'm following up with it this way. Oh, it's a great idea. I brought it over to my CMO who's going to go run with us, or I'll be back to you.
That's what the measurement should be doing. Yeah. It should be this cycle that you mentioned, George.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely a circular process, you know. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, speaking of employee feedback, you and I have discussed the importance of employee panels. And we did something similar at PepsiCo. And I know you've had experience with these as well. So why are these so valuable? And can you discuss kind of the ways to set one up and make it a success?
Sure. Surveys are great. They only go so far, though. It's invaluable to get some more qualitative research, mm-hmm. whether that's a panel or focus groups. And I've done both. Focus groups are, you know, obviously a little less time intensive, but it's great to get the real time feedback. Again, pre-COVID, when you're in a room having a focus group and you're able to ask follow-up questions to employees, that's invaluable. But yeah, the concept of employee panels is similar to focus groups. In this instance, we're setting up a panel, much like customer panels that you may have seen in the past, where you're actively going out there recruiting employees who want to do this so that they're volunteering to sit on a panel and give you feedback, typically over a certain amount of time, let's say over 1 year, you set up a panel.
How many people would you have on that panel?
Depends on the size of the company. Key thing is just to start it. So
I agree.
Think that's less important. You know, you could have a very robust panel with 10 people, but ideally you have a larger panel. Not everyone can attend focus groups if you had them, online discussion groups or surveys. So you want to get big panel. Plus, if you really want to be representative of the company as far as like diversity and different business lines, mm-hmm. you're going to have to build a bigger panel, say 50 to 60 employees would be ideal. And that's what you're saying for. You should really have a cross representation of the company in all different demographics and, you know, business lines, like I said. And that's difficult finding, you know, the recruitment phase is definitely the hardest part to start it up. And there's different ways to do that. You can post it on your intranet, come join an employee panel. You can take nominations from, say, business leaders. There's all sorts of ways to do that. Once there is a panel, you have to set up a schedule, hit them up like once a month. And what are you going to do? Are you going to do a survey? Are you going to do a focus group? Are you just going to have an online discussion? Are you going to have a Zoom call? Mm-hmm. So lots of different ways. You can have one-on-one in-depth interviews with people. Every single research method is at your disposal. And since they've volunteered, you don't really have to be concerned. You know, everyone says, oh, people get over-surveyed. I think that's an actual myth. I think employees in particular want to give feedback as many times as they can.
So yeah, it's just when they're ignored that they're like, no, I'm not gonna keep giving you feedback that you don't take. So
but there's way around that with employee panels. You can rotate people in and out on like, you know, every 3 months. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, assure them that you're only going to have to be contacted twice a quarter or something like that. So there's ways around that. And again, I think the important piece is whatever the results are of the focus group, share that back. Whether a survey, share that back with this group. They want to see how they're shaping communications.
That's right.
There could be rewards as well.
Yeah, even giving something like a thank you note that goes out to them and so that they're feeling appreciated on a regular basis, sort of like we
recognition with our and appreciation is key.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So George, can you talk about the share of voice study that you did when you were at Visa? Kind of walk us through what happened there.
Sure. It wasn't a study per se. Share of voices are really a traditional metric, more so on the PR side of the house. We took that concept and we tried to apply it to the CEO in this case. Initially, we set up simply a CEO share of voice. So we had the CEO and his peers, and we ran a traditional share of voice, which is really just counting up the number of mentions in the media and then comparing it against the competitive set, in this case, his peer CEOs. But then we really looked into what are his messages, what are his themes. In this case, it was a he, it could be a he or she, obviously, but what are the messages, what are the themes that are on his platform? Say, you know, diversity could be a key theme that he is trying to put out there externally. We would then do topical share voices, for example. So come up with search strings, you know, diversity, et cetera.
And obviously for the communications folks, that would help reflect in their counsel to him and his speaking and his engagements out there.
And to know which topics right. that CEO can own. So when you think about thought leadership, take diversity, for example, is that CEO going to be the CEO who can validly and authentically own the topic of diversity?
Exactly. What are the gaps out there?
And what are the gaps? That's fascinating. So I think the other side of that coin is social. I know about half of Fortune 500 CEOs are on LinkedIn these days, and it seems to be increasing. And how would you suggest communicators go about measuring these executives' profiles or executive presence on LinkedIn?
Yeah, I think that's also very important. And there are more and more CEOs out there, like you said. So, you know, LinkedIn is pretty good. So a lot of the off-the-shelf type of metrics that LinkedIn provides are very good. I think, you know, there's impressions, which for awareness, that's good. I'm not a big fan of impressions, but engagement is more important, especially on social. So they do provide the engagement. You can calculate their own engagement rate, which we do. I think the more important piece here is one, looking at the comments again. So putting those comments into an Excel, coding them for sentiment is invaluable. And just reading the comments for themes. And depending on the post, it could have lots of comments. And then you can also look at the audience. So LinkedIn is really, in my view, just another internal communications tool. Yeah, it's external. But if you look at the comments or a lot of the posts by a CEO, I would bet you that, and I haven't done this analysis, that, you know, 75% are from employees. Obviously, that's a good medium for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and future employees too. So that's on potential.
And LinkedIn does provide audience data, which is good. So you can really look into, you know, what are the companies that are looking at the content, not just commenting, but, you know, viewing the content. And you can really dig in, are they customers? Are they competitors? Are they employees? So it's really good.
Well, George, you give us a lot of great advice on executive communications and how we can measure it more effectively. But if you could give our listeners one final good piece of advice to leave them with, what would that be?
Just get started. I've mentioned it a few times. Just get started with communications. Not too hard for someone to read comments on LinkedIn. We were just talking about that. It's free. You don't need a budget. So just get started. And just by reading some of the qualitative comments on anything, whether it's a town hall survey or LinkedIn, like you said earlier, you get some invaluable information. Now, it'd be nice to have a dedicated resource like myself, shameless plug, but, you know, yeah, you can just get started. And if you do have a resource like myself, I would say that, again, back to the circular, measurement should be inserted in at every part of the process. So
yes,
the planning process, post-campaign, a lot of times I get pulled in post-campaign, which is fine, but really you should be doing research and analysis and measurement at every step of the way.
The before piece is the one that's usually forgotten, and setting some benchmarks.
Exactly, coming up with a, you know, measurement framework, whether it's a campaign or just the function in general, I think that's invaluable.
Well, thank you, George. Excellent counsel. We really appreciate you sharing your expertise today. I think a very great conversation for our podcast listeners who are always looking to see how they can improve their measurement, especially around executive communications. So great food for thought. If people want to get a hold of you, how can they reach you?
Just feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn.
Great. Go to LinkedIn. We're giving LinkedIn another plug.
Yeah, a lot of LinkedIn plugs today.
Yeah. Thanks. And listeners, now it's your turn to share your ideas on topics for future podcasts. Please let us know what's on top of mind for you today. And so, Sharon, can you tell folks how they can reach us?
Absolutely. But before I give those details, I just want to thank you, George, again, for being on the podcast, sharing your insights, and just really helpful to our field who are always looking for better ways to measure. So thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you. Glad to help.
So here is how you can reach us. You can send us an email at fircomments@gmail.com or leave a comment directly on the show blog or on the FIR Podcast Network community on Facebook. And of course, like George, Sharon and I always welcome you connecting with us on LinkedIn and Twitter. EE Voice is brought to you by And Then Communications, an employee communications boutique firm that's all about partnership, helping you solve your internal communications challenges from the inside out and help you breathe a little easier. Find out more at andthencoms.com. And finally, a big thank you to Ed Gilbert, our stellar producer and fabulous partner. Thanks to all of you for listening and for engaging your employees.